Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Allen with split backs. He's in the gun. Here's the snap. Pressure right up the middle. Allen, flag down. Allen sacked again at the 30-yard line.
And this is going to be a hold.
Mario Edwards Jr. with the sack. And Allen is shaking up on the play.
Yeah, Ryan Van Denmark is the guy that is in at right tackle. That's who the hold's going to be on.
8 sacks. What a night.
Texans Radio Network. Yeah, what a night. Making Josh Allen extremely uncomfortable. Bills lose this one to the Texans on the road. And you know what? Don't look now, Pearl, but the Texans now have an above 500 record, doing this with a backup quarterback who's not playing very well. But the defense is so good that they have kept themselves in the mix. So welcome to the show, by the way, if I didn't say that. Maggie Perloff, you hanging out on this Friday. You know, some of these sacks were on the offensive line. They got eaten up last night by Danielle Hunter and by Will Anderson Jr. and a host of just ferocious defensive linemen. And some of it was also on Josh Allen, who was spinning out of, you know, getting a little happy feet. He had nowhere to go. He's putting, you know, spinning out of the pocket, turning his back to the play, and just generally going backwards.
Yeah, I don't understand, and I think this is a defensive sign. How come normally when he's spinning around and running, he moves forward down the field?
Yeah.
That wasn't there last night.
Nope, and you know, it's kind of not been there against some of the better defenses. He had trouble doing this against Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's not that I think Josh is losing a step necessarily, but, you know, you did lose your right tackle in this game, Spencer Brown, who has been banged up all year. They've had issues on the offensive line. But then some of it is really self-inflicted. You know, despite all the issues from Buffalo last night, you get to a 4th-and-1 on their final drive of the night. And Deion Dawkins, who's getting paid millions and millions and millions of dollars and Pro Football Focus and great left tackle and all pro and this, that, and the other, and he false starts. And I know it's... I know that it's loud in there, and I get that you can't hear, but it felt like the Bills on that final drive had never been in a tight game before or a close game. The communication was off. You know, you convert a 4th-and-27 on a lateral play from Palmer to Shakir, and then you can't actually get into the end zone because Gabe Davis can't get a second foot down, and then Josh Allen throws a pick. Just inconsistent. Inconsistent,
yeah.
And this is not the year for Buffalo.
You know, you say not that, and I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But last year wasn't the year either. Last year was supposed to be a rebuilding year, and they were underdogs at home against Baltimore, and they found a way to win that game. And they were also, I think they were underdogs against KC in the final game in Kansas City, and they found a way to basically be at the brink of winning that game. They weren't supposed to do anything last year, and they made a really great postseason run. So what makes you so sure that this year is so different from last year?
Well, because the Patriots were not actually a factor last year. So you still won the division easily and got this, like, red carpet into the playoffs and into one of the top seeds to get a home game.
But yeah, but
they played
a great game at Kansas City, too. I mean, a really good game. Actually, probably played their best game of the playoffs.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Kansas City was really one of their best teams last year.
Yeah.
I know they went to the Super Bowl. They got smoked by your Eagles. But Kansas City was living and dying on these one-score wins last year. and Kansas City, the rest of the division, was not as good.
But their offense woke up for that game against Buffalo.
Yep, that's true.
I just think that, all that being said, you think about it, they're probably going to be most likely be a wild card team.
Oh, definitely.
I don't know if, I don't know if a lot of teams are going to want to see them. Because Josh Allen will hopefully learn to run forward again and not run backwards, forward. I saw Next Gen Stats. He traveled more yards running on his feet than the wide receivers did last night. I don't know what, just throw it away, dude. There were a lot of things that went wrong last night, but I think if they get some game tape on that, I think they would play the Texans better. They would be much more just get rid of the damn ball.
Throw it anywhere, but well,
throw it out of bounds. Just stop taking hits.
Did a lot
of
that.
He's a little cocky about hits.
Well, so obviously at one point Josh Allen goes down in a heap and you think that maybe his wrist is broken, fingers broken, elbows broke. I don't know. Something went seriously awry. Then he pops up like everything's fine. But at the end of the game, he also was seen shaking out his hand. He said at one point his shoulder went numb. I mean, this Texans defense had everyone in a body bag last night, not just Allen. There's literally a line outside of the Bills' blue medical tent so that guys could go in there and get checked out. Multiple starters had to leave the game last night. Hell, the referee left the game last night. It was in the air. And Buffalo is going to have to use this mini bye because next week they play the Steelers, whose defense has been rejuvenated over the last few weeks.
So let me ask you this. Yeah. Buffalo, they're the sixth seed right now. Yeah. If the playoffs were today, they play the Colts in the first round.
They don't match up well against the Colts at all.
You're telling me Daniel Jones is going to beat Josh Allen in the playoff game? I can't get my head around
that. Jonathan Taylor could beat the Bills is what I'm telling you. I don't know what Daniel Jones. Davis Mills beat the Bills last night, technically, if you want to like, that's what the record is going to reflect. So,
you know,
they're
people
beatable.
Are not going to believe that till they see it.
And that's in Indy, by the way. So
I know. I guess the Bills stink on the road.
The Bills stink on the road, but also, like, if Jonathan Taylor is still running the way he's running, that's going to be a long day.
But that being said, you can see Josh Allen also running a lot in that game. Like, do or die, he is going to completely sell out for the run. And he is the craziest quarterback sneaker I've ever seen. He gained, 6 yards on a one-yard plunge last night. I would just run that play all the time. And remember he did the tush push where he had 16 yards and fumbled? Like, maybe incorporate the effective quarterback sneak. He's so tall. Well, he just falls out. So 4th and 1, don't hand the ball off. Just have Josh Allen sneak.
Okay, but
run. Tush push.
That didn't work in the playoffs last year against Kansas City. Do you want to revisit that one?
Is that the one where he ran around and went around the guard? That play, you mean?
They failed on a tush push in Kansas City last year, and it was devastating. And by the way, if his wrists are all messed up or if he's getting hurt and crunched, then you can't be really doing those tush pushes and doing those quarterback sneaks. I mean, he did go back under center after he fell and was writhing on the ground in pain. But anyway,
you know he's going to run like crazy if they make the playoffs.
So if they go 3-3 the rest of the way, which is totally normal, would be totally believable for Buffalo, then their chance to make the playoffs goes down to 40%, which is not where you want to be with teams like Kansas City and like Baltimore or Pittsburgh or like, Jacksonville. Like, you have these other teams fighting for this wild card. And then looky what we got here yesterday, Pearl. Joe Burrow for a second straight day, full participant at practice with the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, Bengals' chances to make the playoffs this year are like less than 1%. Okay? They're 3-7. This season, it's over. This is why I would not bring Joe Burrow back. I would not rush him back, bring him back.
I know.
You've lost 3 in a row. You've got New England at Baltimore, at Buffalo, Baltimore again, Miami, Arizona, Cleveland. You're not making the playoffs here, right?
I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know why they're bringing back. And like, this is not just me saying, oh, I don't want to see Joe Burrow. Like, I don't. But this is not the Bills fan in me. I'm just saying, like, I'm looking.
Burrow didn't even look good when he was healthy earlier in the year. Like, this team around him is not ideal right now.
Like, I'm looking at the playoff simulator. It's like literally 1%, 2%, 3%. There's just nothing meaningful here for Cincinnati. And it just feels like one of those things, Pearl, where people are trying to save their jobs. Like, Zach Taylor, I don't know why they would, rush Joe Burrow back, but it feels like this sort of save, cover your butt move. to show that they're going in the right direction so that everyone gets to stay when this is not in the best interest of Joe Burrow's future.
I guess so. I mean, it's turf toe, right?
Yeah, he had surgery on it.
It's a toe. It's
Talk
not like
to
the guys.
Athletes about it. I'm not doing that.
Tell Deion Sanders that.
I know, but it's. I don't think it's.
The Kelseys were talking about on their podcast. So it's a funny name, turf toe, but how incredibly painful.
I know. I mean, Dr. Positano, a good friend of the show, renowned foot doctor, is the single expert on turf toe. It says it can affect you the rest of your life. But I don't know. Let's not make it seem like he's coming back from having a MCL, ACL, PCL tear or something. Just go out there with a little brace on your toe. It'll be cute.
I don't know if they can do that. I think it's about grabbing the ground, right? You don't realize how much your toes are actually kind of like grabbing.
Yeah, because you push off on that. I don't know if it's right or left, but you push off on one of the big toes. Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know that the team is doing this. I think Joe Burrow is probably driving this. That dude looks so miserable when he's not playing.
I get it, but listen, you're going to be more miserable if you somehow re-aggravate this injury or hurt yourself again, and then your off season is completely toast because now you're rehabbing some other ridiculous injury, you know?
Yeah, I'm not so worried about it, Joe Burrow. I don't think they even have a chance to make a playoff run because the defense is terrible. So what are we even doing here? I mean, he's a player. He wants to play.
Yeah, I mean, I guess let's do best case scenario here. If the Bengals beat the New England Patriots this week again, beat the Ravens in Baltimore, beat the Bills in Buffalo, and then beat the Ravens again in Cincinnati. So if Joe Burrow goes on a four-game heater, now their chance to make the playoffs is 47%. Do you think that with this defense, they can win those four games? I do not.
Definitely not.
Right.
Right.
And that's
yeah, they're 3-7.
Yeah, it's a wrap for me. I don't know. I don't know if Bengals fans feel a little bit different. Do you just want to see Joe just to remind yourself that you actually do have a great quarterback? I'm not sure.
Also, too, it's going to be hard. You're going to need a good record in the AFC you laid out, but there's so many bottom feeders in that. You know, you got a lot of people get easy wins over the Browns, the Jets, teams like that.
Titans.
So you're going to have to be, you're definitely going to have to win at least 10. So that means that basically they have to be undefeated because they're 3-7. There's
you
just
got 25% at best.
I don't know.
Beat me.
Your little playoff percentage thing. I'm putting it at 0.0.
Well, that's what it's literally less than 1% is what it looks like right now. It's like that less than sign that you learned in math class.
You got a 33 1/3 chance of winning.
There you go. 888-710-4ISN. We will get to the big college games of the weekend as well, including USC Pearl traveling to Autzen Stadium in Oregon for a big, classic Pac-12 showdown now in the Big Ten. Ramon's in Indy. Razor Ramon, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, my great people here. Boy, you guys got me painting this morning. You know, I'm old here. I've studied a lot of media and narratives and stuff, and I don't know why we keep making excuses for Josh Allen. If Joe Burrow doesn't make the playoffs, Perloff, that's 3 years in a row. Great quarterbacks don't miss the playoffs 3 years in a row. All we hear from you all is dogging out Jalen Hurts. Lamar Jackson doesn't get any breaks. Besides this Sunday's game, the week before that Buffalo game, Josh Allen looked like he was a rookie. He was running around
against Miami,
doing all kinds of stupid stuff out there. He looked terrible. So why we keep making excuses for if Joe Burrow misses the playoffs, that's 3 straight years because we just don't keep living on something 5 years ago. And just because Josh Allen maybe had a couple good playoff games, you only as good. Janet Jackson said, "What have you done for me lately?" And lately, he looked terrible.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ramon, so here's the thing about that, right? I get what you're saying. And there have been times when Josh Allen has had some really bad moments. Really bad. Even against Tampa, where he ends up having this all-time game, the 6 touchdowns. He maybe threw one of the worst interceptions he'll ever throw in his life in that game. The point is, they're inconsistent. But to put it all on Allen, he's still the best player they have. And it's not even close. So you can criticize him, and that's fine. And we have been critical of Josh Allen when he warrants it. And we're talking about how he caused some of these sacks last night, or at least made them worse than they needed to be. But Pearl, he's the best player on the team.
Yeah, but I mean, first of all, I feel like you're talking about a different sport. Because, of course, the quarterback, you don't say the quarterback is the best player on the team because he's the quarterback.
Janet Jackson said, "What
he better
have you
be the best player on the team."
He is.
But you're
no, Miles Garrett is the best player on the Browns. He's not the quarterback. You can have other
generally though, like
players.
But when you say that, that means like, oh, okay, so should we run? You're saying you should run him more? Like, what do you mean he's the best player? Like, he is so dependent. Like, he's got to have weapons around him. They shouldn't really, he might be the best player on the team, but this is a whole both unit thing going on. Like, the team, as you've described, is built wrong.
Yes.
So, yeah, it has nothing really to do with Josh Allen necessarily. Like, they've been trying to figure out how do we build the right thing around him, and they just have not done it. Like, they've short-shrifted the weapons, Maggie. You've said it before.
I know. And James Cook, though, has been excellent. Like, he is a draft pick that worked out for them, that they paid, and he has been really good. But when he picks up 20 yards on a run, you can't then run him into the line three more times. He's gassed. He's begging to get out of the game. Like, that's on Joe Brady to me. That's on the play calling. I just think that Josh, like, if you look at Josh Allen and say that he's top five things wrong with this Bills team, you're not looking at the right stuff.
Oh, yeah. No.
To me, roster construction, offensive line, defense, coaching, play calling. And
but
not
yeah, but
being, and
I
not
hate
being
to say,
buttoned
like,
up. Like
to
not,
defend Joe Brady, what exactly, who are you going to call? Whose number? Shakir,
how about you can go to Ray Davis? You could go to Ty Johnson.
They do that all the time. There's just, you need wide receivers to get open, too.
Pearl, you can't run even Christian McCaffrey or some of the best running back, Bijan Robinson. If the guy's out of gas, you get him out for a break.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Most running backs are like, feed me. I don't know.
I think you're wrong on this particular
one. But yeah, no, I mean, like, the scenario you just described, like, most running, like, Jonathan Taylor and all those guys are like, just give me the ball, give me the ball. Josh Jacobs carries it, like, nine times in a row in Green Bay. But my point is, obviously, they've decided not to invest in wide receiver, and it's now killing them.
Yeah, I think they thought they could do this whole, they call it the everybody eats, right? And Stephon Diggs ended up being a colossal pain in the neck. And I think they saw what Kansas City did, getting rid of Tyreek Hill, and thought, our quarterback is so good, we can do this committee thing. But it turns out that a couple things went wrong. First of all, the guys aren't as good. They're not good enough. Two, Dalton Kincaid is out. And three, Keon Coleman is out because this guy can't get to a meeting on time.
It's hard out there on these streets.
He's not mature enough to be a professional football player right now. That's a problem.
Yeah, and all that being said, like, their offense is way better than their defense.
I mean, defense wasn't the problem last night. Kept them in the game.
They're definitely a top five offense in the NFL, and they are not a top five defense.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, USC traveling to Autzen with upset on their mind. Can they pull it off, and how would that look? Plus, it's a massive game for Oregon, because if they lose this game, you're going to see a lot of people poking holes in that resume. So we've got a major college game for you. So much to do. Later in this hour, we will talk with Zach Jackson, who covers the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. Talk about what's been going on with Shedeur Sanders over this week, getting him ready for his first official start as Browns quarterback. It's Maggie and Perloff Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So Maggie, you teased USC Oregon, big game. USC, to me, is the most overrated team in college football. And I'll tell you why. Because they're 8-2 off the Big Ten schedule. If we, what are there, four of us here, if we grabbed seven guys out there, we could go 3-7 in the Big Ten. What are we doing here? Why are people not punishing these Big Ten teams for, I don't know how they do it. They all, like every Big Ten game is ranked team against Purdue. Then every SEC team is playing like, oh, we got number seven, whatever on the schedule. The Big Ten is such a joke. It's ridiculous. I don't know how all these teams keep having these easy games. Like, show me the USC game where you're like, oh, wow, they're so impressive. Just show it to me, please.
Well, they just beat Iowa. But
so Iowa's 6-4.
Okay, but I'm saying,
I was barely bowl eligible.
But Iowa's a tough team. We gave Oregon credit for going to Iowa. Now, this one was at USC. I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not going to come out and stand for USC. But what I'm telling you is that whether you think they're a good team or not, this is their opportunity. And Autzen is a really hard place to play. Go to Oregon and try to play there. Good luck to you. And USC has been terrible on the road. Like, their home road splits, especially their quarterback, Maiava, has not been good on the road. He's completing like 50% of his passes on the road to like 72% of his passes at home. But to me, you know, if they somehow find a way, they're a 10-point underdog, but if they find a way, they crash the party. Because here's the other part, Pearl. Who's Oregon really played and beaten? Again, I'll give you that good win against, I think that's a good win against Iowa. They were in a dogfight. It's raining, terrible. They win 18-16 that game. But beyond it, like, Penn State at the time looked like an amazing win, but I don't think people look at it that way with Oregon, and that might not be fair. But they won that game in overtime, double overtime, 30-24. It looked like a great win, but then they turn around and lose by 10 at home to Indiana. And because of how Penn State fell apart, Oregon gets no credit, basically, for that Penn State win.
No, I mean, listen, if USC beats Oregon and somehow they sneak into the field, like, I'd be shocked if a team like that could win a game. And because it's not USC, I know they're 8-2, but this is definitely not USC's year. They should have, by the way, they should have won those losses. They should have beaten Illinois. That was a messy game. But I just don't understand the Big Ten. A friend called me the other day.
Should have lost to Nebraska. Like, if Dylan Royola doesn't get hurt in that game, they probably lose.
How is the bottom of the Big Ten so bad? Why are there so many bad teams in here? I just don't understand it. And you say Iowa is a good team. I don't think Iowa would look very good in the SEC because obviously they're one-dimensional.
I think Iowa's a tricky team. I don't know how good they are, but I think it's tricky. Here's the thing, though, Pearl. You're going to complain about the Big Ten. Well, they're not getting a lot of teams into the college football playoff. They're going to get three teams in at the most. It's going to be Ohio State, Indiana, and it's going to be Oregon. Most likely, that's it. So it's not like they're getting gifted all these teams in. You can complain about it, and you'd be right, but they're also not really getting the benefit of the doubt.
Well, yeah, I don't totally understand why USC is 15 and Georgia Tech, for example, who's 9-1, is 16, and Texas, who's 7-3 and has beaten two top 10 teams, is 17. Like, that's not how I would do it. I would drop USC. Now, maybe I'm wrong about USC and they show up big time here, but we've watched that team. It doesn't feel like it's an it year to me.
This is why I had such a big problem with Alabama dropping as much as they did.
But who did Alabama drop below that gives you, like, what's
Oregon?
The
Oregon. I don't understand
but Alabama
why
has two
Oregon.
Losses. The committee was pretty loyal to the one-loss teams here, for the most part.
I get it, but if we're talking about who's got the better wins, which is what you're talking about, then you have to say Alabama by far has the better wins than Oregon.
But Alabama dropping below Notre Dame and Oklahoma, did not surprise me at all. Because Oklahoma just beat them. So you can't, like, once in a while they do actually go to head-to-head, especially the week after the game happened. So, yeah, to me the Alabama thing was not a big deal because Alabama beats Auburn and they're fine and whatever. They're in. Three teams from the Big Ten, and the funny thing is that we don't know how good any of them are. We have no idea. We don't know how good Ohio State is.
I think you know that Indiana's good.
Good luck. I do not know that Indiana's good. I mean, show me the game where you know
it
how
went to
Indiana,
Oregon and beat them by 10. I think
you know
that's
how
impressive.
Indiana matches up against Georgia and Alabama. I have no idea.
Well, yeah, I don't know, but it'd be neutral field.
I mean,
if
we just saw
if we finally get to that.
I mean, honestly, Penn State should have beaten them.
Yeah, it took an all-time throw
terrible.
And catch.
That's the thing. The way the scheduling is so uneven, I think it's very hard to predict how a team like Indiana and Ohio State, because Ohio State hasn't been tested, we really are not sure.
I'm curious how the Oregon fans feel about this, or the USC fans. You're welcome. Like, Oregon fans, I feel like, are always a little nervous.
But this is not the team, right? Like, last year they were a juggernaut. This year, they came in at number 6 preseason. They were a little lower. No one knew who Dante Moore was going to be. He's great, as it turns out. But I felt like they didn't come in with national title expectations. So when they climbed up the rankings, I'm not sure. I'd like to hear from Oregon, too. I don't think the Ducks fans really had that much faith in this team. We'll see. Again, like, these Big Ten teams are a total mystery to me.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Bogus is here. Thanks for the donuts. Deciding which one I want to go for today.
Are you actually going to eat one?
You got the assorted ones. I'm thinking about it.
Good.
It's Friday. What the
you
hell?
Need
my,
a boost.
My team lost last night. I got to eat my feelings.
Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. They're Costco guys. Of course the Texans sacked Josh Allen 8 times on Thursday Night Football. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter combining for 4.5 of those sacks, while safety Kalen Bullock picked off Josh Allen twice, forced a Khalil Shakir fumble in this 23-19 beatdown of the Bills in Houston. Here's Anderson postgame.
Early on in the season, like, we're getting a little frustrated with the sacks and everything like that. But, like, I'm like, man, it's starting to open up for us, man. We just got to keep hunting. And I think tonight was just a perfect example of everybody just hunting relentlessly, man, like, doing whatever it takes.
It is now 3 straight wins for the Texans, 6-5 overall. They are a half game behind the Jags for the last wild card spot in the AFC. Now, no excuses for
Wait,
the Bills.
Do you want to explain to people why you played that?
I thought you were going to.
Well, give me a second.
Okay.
We got the Costco guys are coming into the studio in the next hour.
I'm excited. In a complete upset, Andrew Kaplan is ecstatic that this is happening.
I'm stunned. I didn't know that Cap knew the Costco guys. They're obviously a TikTok sensation. They've got 3 million followers.
5 booms.
On TikTok. They talk about Costco. It's a father and his son. The dad's a former professional wrestler, the independent circuit mostly, but is now going to be doing another run at AEW, another event.
Andrew Kaplan right now is in, no pun intended, all caps in the chat right now.
And Pearl, you love him too.
Yeah, so the boom video is an all-timer. I've actually wondered, you know, we're all family people here. Have you guys ever thought about doing a music video with your family?
No.
There are certain people who can execute this at a very high level.
Yeah.
So
Your daughter's in a musical right
now. My daughters are amazing. They do incredible TikTok videos. And once in a while, they're like, Dad, get in here. And I'm like, no. But
please do it. Just one.
There's about 50 of them out there, but I'm doing like one move. We Bring the Boom guy. I mean, that's a full music video, and it's awesome. Yeah, I think... Bogues, I think you could do it. You got a
fun
little family.
Your daughter's musical. She's a nanny right now, right?
She is. I think she's orphan number 4. She is a nanny. Opening night is tonight. Can't wait to see Pam Gray at that.
Josie and the Pussycat. Something, 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 something.
I'm just not going to lie. My mom did go to see Emma Perloff. So first of all, Pam's booked.
Ah.
But also, Perloff sent us the link to the ticket. Yeah.
Also,
so
it happened
to
be...
literally send me the link.
Happened to be 5 minutes from Maggie's mom's apartment.
Should I send a car as well to Jersey to bring you all the way to Long Island? Would that be acceptable?
Oh, you got a helicopter?
Jersey to Long Island is fun.
On a Friday night?
Nope.
Dr. J, everybody. Boom, 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 boom.
We should just sing the whole show like it's a Broadway performance.
No, we're trying to keep listeners.
Oh, right. No excuses for the Bills, but they did come into this game last night banged up, then got more guys hurt during the loss, including Terrell Bernard to an elbow injury. Here's head coach Sean McDermott.
We got to stay in this thing, man. We grind, and we grind it out, and... that's what you do. You compete. You sign up. This is what you do. No matter you have no injuries or you have the injuries that we have, the will that the guys have, I don't question that one bit.
Josh Allen probably should have gotten hurt on one of the 12 hits he took last night. I guess there was some shoulder pain at one point, but all things considered, he is okay coming out of this defeat. Aaron Rodgers back at Steeler practice yesterday with that broken left wrist in a brace, taking all his snaps out of shotgun. He has said that playing Sunday against the Bears is about safety, not pain tolerance. Mm. If only the Eagle offense played like Tyrese Maxey.
12 to shoot for the Sixers. Back up top, Justin Edwards. Down the lane he goes to Maxey. Corner three in the air. It's good. Maxey puts it in. 46 points for Maxey.
Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Maxey finishing with a career-high 56 in a 123-114 OT win in Milwaukee. Can he throw a football or catch one, Pearl? Do we know this?
I do not.
Can we transfer him to a different to the Eagles for a weekend?
Oh, stop.
Okay.
No, you don't want A.J. Brown complaining about losing more targets now to Tyrese Maxey. Heaven forbid. We'd have to call an emergency press conference. Well, also, for A.J. Brown, like, I saw him talking to the media yesterday. Like, just make him not available because he was being weird yesterday,
I know. Who did he throw under the bus yesterday? Saquon.
Saquon. Yeah, he goes, if you think my numbers are down, so you must be also mad at Saquon, too. I'm like, geez, this guy's on a heater in all the wrong ways.
Sorry, I was busy. I'm trying to make sure I don't get the Costco guys and the Rizzler mixed up.
Well, they're in collaborations.
Yeah, but right. The Rizzler, it says on here the Rizzler is 8 years old.
Not anymore.
Yeah, in his Wikipedia page.
At one point he was.
No,
I think the Rizzler's like 40, and he just is one of those Wikipedia people that looks really
young. Now it says he's 9. He's got to be way older than that.
But you'll find out next hour. You can ask the guys.
Yeah, I'm a little confused. We got to make sure we get our viral families right.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump on social media.
Well, you know what? Obviously, with an 11-year-old son, I'm aware of all of these dads and sons and whatever. And there is a... Costco guys video where they're like making shout outs, taking requests, and they give a guy whose brother died 5 booms, which is a weird, means well, but that's a tough trick.
Okay.
To be honest, you can't give him what, one? A half?
Like, RIP Todd, 5 booms for you. Boom, boom.
No, it's like the salute that they give you. Like
it's a 5 boom salute. You're right.
5 boom salute.
21 gun salute.
21 gun salute. That's what I was thinking. You get it. Wow.
Military honors.
I'm sure the family is so honored they got a 5 boom salute.
But they're not wrong in how good Costco food is. Can't recommend the Costco hot dog enough.
The Costco hot dog is elite.
I gotta tell you. And it's like 3 cents.
I know.
If you go to the Industry City one.
No, listen, Maggie, leave us alone, okay?
All right,
seriously.
I'm going to back away from this conversation.
Enough.
I've already told you. I love that the Costco guys are coming in. I'm all excited to interview them. Tony Khan's going to be here later today. Obviously, one of the owners of the Jaguars and AEW. We've got a lot of fun that we're going to have today. Nick Costos. But
yeah,
Costco to me is so overwhelming. It's hard for me to thrive in there.
Yeah, so grab yourself a hot dog and a drink for 75 cents. Enjoy the deal. Enjoy the delicious hot dog. Calm those nerves. Then walk around. Enjoy some free samples. Mm. Play with the lawn game they've got out in the aisles. It's a party.
No, but there is an issue, though, at Costco. It's like... ooh, this Nespresso machine is only $39.99. Maybe I should get this.
Yeah.
You can make some impulse purchases that you later regret.
You definitely need 2 gallons of ketchup right now.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I don't trust myself in Costco because, like, I'll look at the unit price. I'm like, well, I have to buy that. I'd be costing myself money if I did not buy this gigantic pallet of club soda.
I bought like a 6-pack of Jacquinese barbecue sauce that's just still
a
in
a 6-pack.
I mean, it was like $10.
But now you're good.
I mean, in theory, yeah.
Now you're good.
Yeah, so when the asteroid is hurtling toward the Earth, be like, thank God I got that barbecue sauce. When I'm got 3 bottles left.
Yeah, when I'm grilling for, like, you know, a family reunion at some point, I guess I'll be straight.
That stuff's going to expire.
No, so now we're back to you and your food issues.
Yeah.
That is the one thing that freaks me out, is when things don't expire for, like, ever.
Yes.
Like, I need you to expire relatively quickly to make me think that that's, like, actual things in there. But when it's like, when I start seeing like 2027 on like containers now, like that can't be good for my body.
Pop-Tarts never expire. Although I was on the flip side, shocked the day I found out, on this show that mustard expires. I had no idea that mustard expired. And then I had to go through my fridge and throw everything out.
So, this
you back?
Is this kid the Rizzler? No.
That's a lady.
What's that?
That is not the Rizzler.
That's not the Rizzler?
No, I believe that's the other Costco. That's the Costco kid. The Rizzler's the guy that does...
The guy who says how to pronounce...
Here, show it to me.
Yeah, no, that's not... No.
That's not the Costco
guy. No, that's the Rizzler.
God, we're working this out on air, by the way.
I know. That's the Rizzler. Guys, we have... They're actually coming in an hour. Can we figure out who was who?
Yeah, I got it.
The Rizzler, by the way, is the oldest 9-year-old kid I've ever seen.
I'm telling you, there's something fishy going on. It's like checking the birth certificates, like, you know, when guys play football.
Him and Danny Almonte definitely could be a bunch of
I'm watching a Good Morning America segment series on the hilarious 12-year-old who defends his grandmother making gnocchi.
Gnocchi?
Wow. You have to leave New York. Gnocchi?
Gnocchi, sorry. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
I should set these segments out.
Sheesh. I almost cursed on the air. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, we got a break. What's going on with Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland? How is the week gone before he makes, I guess, his official, it's not his official debut. That happened last week. His
first start.
First start. That's what we're calling it. First start. We're going to talk to Zach Jackson of The Athletic, boots on the ground in Cleveland, in just a moment. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pearl, suddenly this Browns-Raiders game got a lot more exciting. You got two teams that have a combined 4 wins, but it's going to be one of the most watched games of the weekend. Why? Because Shedeur Sanders is making his first start. Let's welcome in Zach Jackson, who covers the Browns and the NFL for The Athletic. Also got the Zach Jackson and Friends podcast. Zach, thanks so much for the time. How are you?
You guys watch a lot of games between 2 and 8 teams?
Well, we're forced to in this line of work. But you know what? We're actually we're excited. You just cover the Browns.
You're that's especially. Just life. You've seen a lot in your life, I'm sure.
That's why I look so old, because I have seen a lot.
Yeah, you got a PhD in watching bad football. But, you know, this is obviously very interesting because Shedeur gets his first start. So first, you know, for the fans out there who were clamoring or upset, or all the backup quarterbacks we heard from through the week about Shedeur not having any first team reps before he gets thrown into the game at halftime against Baltimore. How much had that been an issue in the building, Zach? And is that something we're making a bigger deal of on the outside than in the inside?
I think it's been made a little bit bigger deal on the outside because everything Shedeur has. But look, Kevin Stefanski should have come out months ago or at least weeks ago and said, Shador's a red shirt, Shador's development. Like, we like him here, but he's not anywhere near ready. Now, even if he'd said that, they made these trades and rushed him into this situation, right? But the whole messaging has been bad. The whole situation has been weird. And it was no surprise to really anyone that Joe Flacco won the job, back in camp. But Shador was pretty impressive with his throws, and he had a really good one preseason game and a really awful third preseason game. But he never got any reps with the first team whatsoever, which when you're fourth in line and you're a fifth-round rookie, that's understandable. When you get to October and you're the backup, then you wonder why you couldn't get three practice snaps one day. So, look, that's out the window now because he's getting a week of practice and he's got to go do it. But for a guy that just about everything he does is talked about, you know, I don't know that how much it really was blown out of proportion. The answer was he wasn't ready, and he's, you know, today is his third full practice this week of trying to get ready to go out and put on a much better performance on Sunday.
So it seems like Shador has clear physical tools. Obviously better physical tools than Dylan Gabriel. I think you don't have to be a scout to realize that.
Yeah.
So why is, like, for example, you mentioned that first preseason game. So he was making great throws, moving around. Why is that not translating closer to being ready than what we saw last week, for example?
That's a good question. You know, his bad habit of turning his back to the defense and trying to extend plays. You know, I think, you know, we're only allowed to watch the first 10 minutes of practice, right? And we're not even allowed to video throws to the receivers because of the extreme paranoia that this organization has. But I think it's the coaching point has to be just throw it in the third row, right? Like if you take a sack, take it at 6 yards or throw it in the third row. Do not try to make magic happen, right? So he's a very accurate passer. He has enough arm talent. There's a lot to like about what he can do with the football, but every time he runs backwards and takes those sacks, it's bad. And in the preseason finale, I think he took 5 or 6 of them.
Zach Jackson's joining us, covers the Browns and the NFL for The Athletic, and Shador Sanders gets his first start against the Raiders on Sunday in Las Vegas. You know, Zach, we can't tell on the outside how serious the Browns are about actually developing Shador Sanders. In my opinion, I think he's actually auditioning for other teams who may not love the college quarterbacks coming out next year and maybe want to bring him in to compete for the backup job or something like that. What do you think? Do the Browns really, would they consider Shador as the quarterback of the future, considering they're going to have multiple first-round picks burning a hole in their pocket in 2026?
Important question. One without an answer, right? Who's going to be running the Browns next year? What are their realistic options? And frankly, Sunday's going to go a long way towards deciding if they're picking first, second, or third, or fifth, sixth, or seventh. And that could be, you know, a big difference. Shador has the talent to play in this league. He's under contract for 3 more years. Dylan Gabriel, who has the talent to be the backup in this league, is under contract for 3 more years. Deshaun Watson is under contract for 1 more year. His cap number is $80 million. Those are the Browns' options. So that's 2 that you can already cross off, and then Shador, who's a maybe. So they should be invested in his development. I think they are invested in his development, regardless of how it got here. The plan stunk from the beginning. It never made sense. It's been changed a bunch of times. But he's got a chance at least this Sunday to put good tape out there, to show improvement, to go through this week and show that he's engaged and wants to be better. And like I said, I think even last week, I think there was a couple of times where you're like, okay, that looks like how it's supposed to look. So if he can do that more on Sunday and maybe get chances the rest of the way, I mean, this is not a threat, but this team has 7 games left, for better or worse, right? So how many he's going to start, what Stefanski's really thinking when Dylan Gabriel's clear to play again, we don't know. But we know Shador has 4 quarters ahead of him on Sunday against the Raiders team. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better team to debut against in this league right now.
So you said the GM, we don't know who that's going to be. What about the head coach? Do you think Kevin Stefanski is safe right now?
I don't think anyone's safe. I think if you win 6 games in 2 years, you can't be safe. So I don't know for sure. And I don't speak for this organization, and this organization does things their own way. But in any normal organization, regardless of the circumstances, if you win 6 games in 2 years, your job is not safe.
Zach Jackson's joining us. He covers the Browns and the NFL for The Athletic. Why did the plan change so much? Like, it kind of feels like either there's a power struggle, a power vacuum. Obviously, the owner's a wild card, even though they pretend like he's not involved, although it seems like he clearly is. Like, why did the plan change so drastically at the most important position on the football field?
Well, you can't, this is not an answer that makes a lot of sense, but probably because Kenny Pickett had a 4-week injury in the summer and it never really became a competition, because they kept saying 4-man competition, but it was realistically Pickett versus Flacco and then the 2 rookies kind of versus each other, but just versus being a rookie QB. So Kenny got hurt on the 4th day of camp and was not allowed to participate in any of the preseason stuff, never had a full practice the rest of the way. They had an opportunity to trade him, and they traded him for a 5th-round pick. So did they ever like him that much? I don't know. Joe Flacco went through. Joe Flacco talked about not having enough reps, but understanding. Joe Flacco did this 1-year deal with the Browns because he wanted to prove he could still play at a high level. The Browns benched him after four games and traded him, and he went out and proved he can still play at a pretty high level. So they put in Dylan Gabriel, which they were always going to do. It was just supposed to be at this time of year. And you quickly saw from Dylan Gabriel that he's just not an NFL starting quality quarterback. So what will we see from Shador? I don't know. You know, there's no middle ground answer with Shador. It probably is in the middle ground somewhere. But the plan really has never made sense, and it probably always pointed to next year, which is fine. But, you know, why take on Flacco at 40 years old, and why draft two guys if you don't really love them and don't think they can make it, especially drafting one in the third round when you have a roster that has so many holes going forward?
Okay. I don't know if you're a voter, but would you cast a vote for defensive player of the year for a guy on a 3-14 team if that ends up happening?
Yeah, 2006 is the last time a guy with a losing record won the defensive player of the year, but it's going to happen. I mean, he's going to crush.
He being Miles Garrett, by the way. We haven't said his name. So you think he's going to win this thing, even though the Browns are so bad?
I've watched every snap of Miles' career. I've watched every open practice of Miles' career. He has always been from a different planet, and he has ascended to a different one this year. He's just not a human being. He is. What he's doing is phenomenal. And there was almost a fifth one last week where Lamar got away and made a great play. Nobody but Lamar would get away. Guys don't get away from this guy. His combination of speed, athleticism, raw size, just raw talent with the polish that he's put on through the years is amazing. And he is locked in like we haven't seen him before. So, you know, I'm a public school kid, but he's averaging over 2 sacks a game right now. He's playing the Raiders, who give up. Who are as bad as anybody on the offensive line. He still plays the Titans, right? He has 4 of his last 6 at home, and he wants the record, you know, and I think he's going to not just break it, but smash it. And I think if he does that, he's going to be the defensive player of the year. And so the Browns are going to be a 3 or 4 win team that has the defensive player of the year and the defensive rookie of the year in Carson Schwechinger. Hard to do, but this franchise does it.
And then they're going to fire everybody, obviously, because that's what you do. And this is the Browns. Zach, last one for me. We have about a minute left, and it's about Miles Garrett. Even though I know Shador is obviously story 1, 2, and 3. Why is Miles Garrett on this team? It doesn't make any sense. To 3-14, we joke about it, but they could have traded him. They could have helped reset the franchise even further. And by the time they get their acts together on offense, Miles Garrett might not be smashing records at that point.
It's a great question. They probably should have ignited the rebuild that way, but they dug in. They said, we're not trading him. You know, here 10 months later, that looks right, but with these things lingering, but they just said they weren't trading him, and they told him that. And after he went on his public tour and everything else, they told him that again. He signed an outrageous contract. He committed to them. They committed to him, and he's going to play most of his career here in Cleveland because they can't trade him. It'd be $40 million in dead money, and they already have Watson on the books for $80 million next year. So he's going great.
Is he the new Joe Thomas in the sense Hall of Fame career never went?
It's not a one-to-one comparison, but it's a fair way to say it for sure.
I'm wondering this, and again, we have about a minute left with Zach Jackson. if Shador wins on Sunday, that's going to be the best Cleveland football moment since
2 years ago when Joe Flacco came in and won 4 in a row, 3 for 300 in all 4 games, and they got to the playoffs. Now, they crashed when they got there, but they, you know, Joe came off the couch. They had backup tackles. They just got hot in December, and it was Joe guiding the offense. But before that, yeah, we're going back to when Joe Thomas was playing.
Oh, God. Zach, well, listen, enjoy it this weekend. It's something fun. All eyes on the Browns yet again, and we'll see whether they rise to the occasion or not.
We will see. Thank you.
Thank you. Check out Zach Jackson, covers the Browns in the NFL for The Athletic. Also the Zach Jackson and Friends pod for all the podcasts. Check that out as well. I think you and I average like 6 Browns podcasts a day. Yeah. We were consuming a lot of Cleveland content.
I've actually pulled away from the Cleveland thing. I stopped caring at a certain point because...
You got to get back on now.
Nah, I can't. Like, now that Shador... I don't think they're going to support him. Actually, after hearing Zach, I'm not feeling optimistic about Shador's chances here.
Is Deshaun Watson starting next year for the Browns and we're just overthinking this whole thing?
Ooh, I don't know. He said $80 million. I do think they might have an out that will not really crush them. My Browns highlight, remember when Josh Gordon had 200 yards? That game was amazing. That's my favorite Browns game.
Coming up next, CeeDee Lamb forced to defend himself after he missed curfew in Las Vegas. Do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.